Blog Talk Radio.
Hi guys, this is Denise Bassi, Randy from All My Children.
Hey, this is Chriselle Stout, and you're listening to Stardust Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to a very special episode of Stardust Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is April 1st, 2010. I'm your host, Joanne, and I'm pleased to announce that today is Stardust Radio's second anniversary. I would just like to take a quick second to say thank you to all of you who have been so supportive and loyal to the show and make every show possible. And special shout-outs to my buddy Brandon and Nivelle for having my back when it is most needed. But, again, tonight is not just about Stardish's anniversary, as I told you all. Tonight is about who is celebrating with all of us and about all of us celebrating him. So without further delay, he may well be the finest actor to have ever graced the genre of daytime television, and he has astonishing 5 Emmy Awards to support that opinion. And after 27 years of portraying to perfection the roles of twin brothers Adam and Stuart Chandler on ABC's All My Children, he is bidding his beloved Pine Valley a fond farewell later this month. And he has come by the show tonight to reminisce on a magical, monumental career, to give us some insight on his character's imminent exit, and to help Stardust his second birthday in high style. So please give a warm Stardust welcome to the marvelous and magnificent David Canary. Welcome, darling.
Thank you, Joanne. I feel welcome.
Well, David, again, like I said, it's an honor to have you on the show. And truthfully, as I told you that I had tried to get you on, and right now I feel, just to gush a little bit, I feel like that girl walking into the prom and all eyes are on her because she's got, like, the most strapping, handsome guy on her arm. I'm honored to have you here.
Well, that's very kind and very complimentary and very flattering. Thank you.
It's well-deserved, well-deserved. I just want to start a little bit of background on you, and correct me if I'm wrong about any of this, as I was doing some research into your earlier career. Is it true that you wanted to go to medical school, but your dad said to give singing and acting a try?
Yes, well, I was going to go to medical school, and I don't think my grades were good enough, but I got sort of steered into music and theater by way of football.
Mm.
When I came time to go to college, I was a member of the team in Massillon, Ohio, which is very well known for its football.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to a scholarship. And I realized I'd done the leads in a couple of musicals in high school, and that led the football scholarship to 4 years in the music conservatory in Cincinnati. And that led me to a man named Paul Rutledge, who started putting me in all the plays and turned me into an actor.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all a sort of, they'd had me by the nose and they led me through, and I survived somehow. But I've had a wonderful life as an actor, and I'm glad I made that decision.
Well, I'm glad you did, too, and I'm sure a lot of other people are, too. I'm not going to get into so much tedious detail from start to finish of everything that you've done, because I'd keep you on the phone forever and a day if we did that, because you're just so accomplished. But if you could just maybe go back in your head as far back as you can go with Peyton Place, being the very first prime time soap on television, and just tell me what that experience was like at that time.
You know, I'm having a little trouble understanding some of what you're saying, and I'm
you
sorry
know what?
To say that.
No, it may be my phone. Let me just fix that up.
I'm having trouble understanding a little bit.
Try not to breathe. The phone. Do you have her
phone? Hello? Wait a minute.
You're panting into the phone.
No, I'm not. Well, we've been cut off. afraid.
Okay, well, she'll call, hang up and she'll call again. If you can cut off.
Okay, are you there, David?
Yes, I am.
All right, now, for whatever reason, the mute button went off on my phone. Stupid thing. Technology. Okay. Sorry about that. Paint in place. Can you go back and think as far back as you can with that being the first prime time soap and tell me a little bit about that experience?
The first time on a soap?
Yeah, paint in place.
Oh, yes. Well, yes, that, of course, that was a nighttime soap. I tend to forget about that. It was the, what did I say?
Peyton Place.
Yeah, Peyton Place. Isn't that what I said?
Yes.
Anyway, Peyton Place. And I had just gotten to Hollywood. I'd gone from New York. I worked in the Fantastics in New York for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
And the role of El Gallo is a replacement in the original production. And then later on, I went out to do the same thing in San Francisco. I did that for 6 months, wandered down to Los Angeles, and ended up in a production, a very fine production of The Fantastics. What? My wife's saying no.
After San Francisco, when you went down.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, after San Francisco. Anyway, what was the question?
Your experience on Peyton Place.
Oh, Peyton Place. Okay, because the Fantastics was my first soap out there, but it wasn't at the studio. So
okay.
It was Peyton Place. I was working with Mia Farrow,
mm-hmm.
Which was very pleasing and very nice. She was a big name at that time, and I was a nobody. So I got to get my feet wet for about 6 months on Peyton Place, and that led into I got an agent and started a career. And I got to do two or three good television shows and a couple of good films before I decided to come back to New York.
Okay.
Does that answer any question?
It does. Now, do you remember why you left Los Angeles to come back to New York?
Yes, it was because I had a job. That job was in a musical about, do you remember the name of that musical? the thing that brought me back to New York, about the artist.
Cowboy.
Yeah.
By Dick Riddle. Cowboy.
That's right, of course. We're going back so far here, you know, some of this is hard to remember.
Yeah, no,
was,
take your time. I mean, if you can't, it's no big deal.
Well, that was Cowboy is
okay.
The title. Maureen remembered for me. My wife is sitting here in case I go up on the line or something.
I'll
but
tell
I,
you,
that,
your wife is the sweetest person in the world.
Oh, absolutely, unless she gets mad at you. but she said you're the sweetest person in the world, darling, and I totally agree. Anyway, I came back to New York to do Cowboy, which was about Charlie Russell, American painter and artist. And I'd been in L.A. for 10 years approximately by that point, and I really missed New York. I missed theater. I missed the East Coast. And so I found myself on the way back to do this musical, and we did it in a very nice mm-hmm. production, but unfortunately didn't get great reviews, and so I went on to live in New York and start auditioning there.
Mm-hmm.
And that pretty well says it until I found myself in a play on Broadway, and I was drafted into the Army.
Okay.
Wait a minute. She's saying I'm wrong.
Yeah. After you came back to L.A., after Cowboy, you were done with the Army. The Army is what got you out to L.A., you going back so many years. You came back to New York after 10 years in L.A. in 1976.
She wasn't even there. She remembers it better than I do. Anyway, what brought me back to the East Coast, and I was glad to get back to the East Coast. I feel much more at home
mm-hmm.
Here than I did in L.A.
Right.
I'm much more relaxed with the business, the kind of business it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a very wonderful time doing that play, Cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
That led to other plays.
and that led to some other things,
right.
Other plays.
The
yeah, Gone with the Wind. Oh, boy.
Regional theater.
They did some regional theater productions. And met my wife, Mo.
Mm-hmm. And she is a beautiful woman. I've seen pictures of her on the internet, and you make a very handsome couple. She reminds me of Maureen O'Hara.
Ah, you remind her of Maureen O'Hara.
Oh, all
right. Yes.
She likes that.
Yes, a beautiful woman.
Came back to New York to do that show and ended up in a Broadway play. And that was, moving on ahead.
Well, I mean, it's needless to say that you've done so much work. Before I get into any more of my questions, I'm bringing on a caller. His name is Brandon. He's from Austin, Texas. He is going to ask you a couple of questions. He's a big fan of yours. I promised I'd bring him on early because he has an event he has to get to. So I want to let him get his questions in before I move on. So, Brandon, say hi to David.
Hey, Joe.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Yeah.
Hi, David. How are you, sir?
I'm sorry. I thought we were cut off. Hello, Brandon.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm a big, big fan of yours for a long time. You know, as everybody who's going to call in tonight, I'm a huge fan of your work on All My Children, and I'll let other people ask those questions, but I have to tell you that the first time I ever saw you was watching Another World with my grandmother, and, you know, my grandmother could not stand you, because Steve and Rachel and Alice, that was her couple, and her story, and her show, and, you know, when you took on the role of Steve, you really made an enemy out of her, and I'm wondering if you find that to be true with a lot of fans. I mean, I'm going to guess that was a very tough role for you to play.
Well, not really. It was a different kind of theater then, a kind of film. I mean tape. We used teleprompters. The first we used large chalkboards that we did like idiot cards, except they were huge, and that was sitting beside the camera. Then later on, we got to using teleprompters, and then for the last, let's see, I've been doing this for 16 years. I mean, 26 and a half. For the last 20 years, at least, it's been no teleprompters and no chalkboards. You just memorize that 20 pages, or you're dead. So it was. It became more and more and more of a challenge to do the show, and even more gratifying when you finally got it right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm glad. I'm sorry. I made your is your grandmother that got mad at me?
Yes,
gee,
yes,
I'm
sir.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's just one of those things where, you know, George Reinhold, who played the role originally, was so popular and so kind of iconic in that role, and I would imagine that you stepping into that role would be quite a challenge.
Well, what was the last statement?
I would just imagine that you stepping into a role. You know, being fairly new to the world of soaps and stepping into a role that was so popular, played by somebody else, would be a bit of a challenge.
Well, George Reinhold, right? That was his name?
Yes, absolutely.
Played Stephen Frame? Yes, he was tremendously popular, and he had been gone. I never met the man. He had been gone for a while when I took over. I was accepted as well as anybody could be accepted in that kind of a situation. And It was a fun gig. I did one other one that was a half hour show.
Search for Tomorrow.
And I'm glad my wife's sitting here. I don't remember any of these names. But that was a half an hour show, and it was back and forth and back and forth. I did some more things off Broadway, and ended up landing this show, All My Children.
Absolutely.
Which has been quite a race. It's been difficult. There were moments we just went out to, they just changed our venue from New York to Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
As I guess you know. And that's how I ended up out there. My point I was going to make. Yeah, it was a 3-month gig. that was really totally exhausting. Learning 20 to 30 pages a day, 5 days a week. It's a tough way to make a living, although they paid me well. So anyway, that's where we've been for the last 3 months, and part of it was like having a wonderful amount a round of applause and love from people who had just put you in jail. It was tough. It was really tough to learn all those doggone lines and keep trucking. So I'm glad to be back on the East Coast now, and here in Connecticut with my wife and my family, and things are good.
Well, I tell you what, I'm a huge fan of yours, and I appreciate all the great years of work that you've put in. And Joanne, you know how much I adore you, and I can't wait till the day that we're celebrating your 50th anniversary, and I'm so thrilled to have been a part of your second.
Thank you so much, Brandon.
That's only 48 years away. We'll make that.
Yeah, we will.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Yes, Brandon is the one I mentioned in the beginning of the show to say thank you because he helps me with my intros. He actually writes the intros for me. So that lovely piece you heard, he actually wrote.
Oh,
yes.
Well, good. Thank you.
He's
again.
He's an inspiring writer. He's fabulous. Always there in a pinch. Now, your Western days, if you can just tell me, and I'm not going to get into details about Bonanza because I know that's going so far back, but what your favorite Western was, other than that show that you were on. I know you're a fan of the movies. Do you have a particular favorite movie of Westerns that's your favorite?
A favorite movie. Well, I loved the if you get to television, I loved Gunsmoke.
Yes,
I thought that was well cast and usually gritty enough to be real.
Right,
and I finally got to do one, and that was quite a good script too, quite interesting, and involved my character in most of the plot, but they. The ultimate compliment was that after they saw the first one, I mean, after we saw it before it had aired,
right.
And then they decided to extend it into a two-parter.
Mm-hmm.
And so they shot another one.
Fabulous.
And that was, it was called Nitro, and it was about a young man who was playing around, because he had very little choice, playing around with nitroglycerin, and... it was just basically a question of, is he going to blow himself up or not?
Right.
And I'm not going to tell you because you might want to see it someday.
Well, I actually did record one today because Gunsmoke does still come on TV Land. And I record them and I watch them, you know, when I can because there's so much stuff on TV now that I don't like watching. So I go back into the archives of the older channels that play the older shows that I've never seen before. That I would rather watch. So I actually did record one today. I'm not sure which one it is, but I'm sure I will see it.
Well, I completely agree with you. I sometimes get so tired and almost furious of watching television and them preaching and preaching and commercials and commercials and commercials. It played its part in my life and brought me to just about a piece of retirement, I think.
Right.
Might be the words. I'm not going to retire from the show.
Right.
I'm not going to retire from acting. I'm just retiring from being tense and learning lines every day.
Mm-hmm.
It can be really, really exhausting work.
I believe
it. That fast. Yeah.
Well, I grew up in a John Wayne household, so I'd have to say my favorite Western is The Searchers. I watch that movie every time it comes on, John Wayne and Natalie Wood. My dad had us trained to watch them. But that one always stuck out for me. I don't know why.
The Searchers, Mo, have you seen it?
The Searchers of John Wayne. It's fabulous.
John Wayne, a film,
yeah.
John Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I must look that up.
Yeah, it's a very good movie. It's always on AMC or one of those channels. I always run into it.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I'm surprised I haven't seen it.
Oh,
I'm going to look for it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let me go into some a little bit of trivia that I ran into about you. Is it true that you studied karate under Chuck Norris?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
That went on for quite a while. It was when I was out there in, actually, I remember Burbank Studios, where we moved to, when I was doing Bonanza. You see why I have my wife nearby. I can't remember the name of Bonanza. And I worked with Chuck Norris. He was an All-American. It was the world champion when I dealt with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very encouraging. But I continued on with some of the karate after I left that show back in New York, and I became very fond of it. It's a wonder. Yoga is a wonderful way to train yourself.
Right. And also, I wanted to ask you about if you were considered for Dr. Spock on Star Trek.
No.
Okay, that's
my
piece
ears
of trivia
were too
that's
short.
Out there.
What?
See, that's a piece of trivia that I found up when I was looking at stuff about you today, that you were actually considered for Dr. Spock at one time.
Well, you know, that rings a faint bell, but I think my reaction now is pretty much my reaction would have been then. I wouldn't try to fill those shoes.
Right.
My ears are too short, is what I said before. I don't know whether you heard that. And I really respect the actor, of course, but that's not something I was aware of.
Yeah. Calamity Jane is your aunt?
Well, a distant aunt.
Okay.
She is. I have some.
Calamity Jane?
Yeah, Calamity Jane.
You are a relative first, but not a direct descendant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. she said, I'm a relative of hers, but.
Not a direct descendant.
But not a direct. No, not of course not.
No,
no I think we. There is a connection.
Okay.
But no one can seem to quite declare what it is. Her name really was Cannary.
Ah, okay.
Martha Jean Canary.
Ah, okay.
I've seen Doris Day in the role, and I don't think Calamity looked much like Doris, but she looked more like Richard Boone. No. Who played Calamity Jane on film? Do you know?
Calamity Jane. I'll tell you in a second. I'll look it up right now.
Oh, you can look it up? Because she's saying it was...
I thought it was Debbie Reynolds. Maybe she was the unthinkable Molly Brown.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, well, it's... it's not...
I'll important. Find it. I'll find it before it's over.
Okay.
I want to touch here into an email that I thought you'd might like to hear that I got from a fan of yours, just to show you how far your work reaches. I was doing some YouTube surfing, and I was watching old interviews that you've done, and I came across a tribute video. Now, you have to ask Maureen, because I did email her the link so you guys can look at it. So maybe when we're done, you can look it up on the email. This girl put together a tribute birthday video in honor of you for your birthday in August of 2009.
That's the one. Hold on just a second. She's asking me about the one the girl did an email.
I sent it to her this afternoon.
And that's the one you showed me earlier today, wasn't it? It's early days. It's just shots of me and different roles.
Yes, different roles, right. Well, this young girl...
Yeah, Joanne sent that. Yes, I saw it today.
Okay, well...
I loved it. I just loved it. Of course, I look younger for one thing, which always helps.
Well,
but I thought it was a beautiful gift. We appreciate it.
Her name is, and I'm hoping I pronounce this right, is Rania, Rania. And she is from the island of Cyprus, which I believe is out in the Greek islands. And she sent me this little note, and because I told her that I did forward the email to you guys, and she said to say thank you. It makes me very nervous but very happy that you shared my video with David Canary and his wife. I really hope they like it. My dream is to become a movie director, and I can't live without making videos. The David Canary tribute was the first one that I've made. It was for his birthday celebration, and it was made with a lot of love. I don't know how to put this right, but these are some things that I would love for David Canary to hear. I am an 18-year-old girl from Greece, and I know that there are people in various parts of the world that admire David Canary and his awesome work, and I know because I regularly keep in touch with them. There's nothing more important in life than to inspire people. That is what I will always be, that's what I will always remember. I first saw David Canary on Bonanza, and ever since, I know who can bring the smile back to my face with his amazing acting and the life he breathes into the character. The first tribute I have ever created, and I don't know if it's a good or bad one, but I've certainly put my soul to it, is to this wonderful man that with his presence on the screen makes us feel things that words sometimes fail to express. I send my love to David Canary and his family, along with a great thank you, and thank you, Joanne, for giving me this chance, Rania. So that's to you from her.
Well, that's Rania, is that what you
Rania,
said?
Rania, yes.
Well, thank her. It's one of the nicest, most beautiful, thoughtful gifts I've ever received in my life, and I mean that sincerely.
Well, she'll hear that because she'll be able to download this show, and she'll hear that directly from you.
Good, good. Thank
okay.
you,
Maria. All right. Now, let's get to some questions about all my children. Oh, all my children, all my children. When Charles Pratt was brought on as head writer, he was supposed to be all my children's saving grace. As a veteran who's been fortunate to act strong material and weak material, why do you think Pratt's tenure went so tragically wrong?
Why do I think that his tenure was say once again just that
it went so wrong the year that he was there. Why do you think his stint there was just not that great?
How do I answer a question like that? Being so close to the scripts and inside them,
mm-hmm.
It's you're not really aware that the show has gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't that really that aware that it had gone wrong, but I don't watch it, so
okay.
I guess that's understandable that I don't know. But you're asking why under Chuck Pratt's not direction,
well,
and his tutelage writing, that,
right.
that it went wrong.
Well, you know, I mean, from a fan's perspective, because, I mean, I have to be a fan of what, you know, I talk to people about, and I've watched all my, I mean, I'm 40, but I've watched all my children as far back as I can remember with my grandparents and my mother, and we were all excited when Charles Pratt was brought on because he claimed that he was going to bring so much life back into all my children because the ratings had started to dip and the fans started getting a little annoyed. So people were really excited over that. But then it just, in the fans' eyes, it went completely wrong for a year. So much is so that people stopped watching,
mm-hmm.
and myself included, because it was just that. It was, some of the storylines were just so inconceivable and so not true to the history of all my children,
mm-hmm.
which everyone was so desperate for, to get back into the history and bring back the core of the show. But it was just going awry in the eyes of the fans.
Mm-hmm.
So we were pretty happy to find out that he was being replaced as fans.
Well,
so,
I will confess that my wife expressed some relief or joy that Lorraine Broderick, God love her, Lorraine Broderick was coming back to write the show again. We always liked Lorraine, and we'll just leave it at that, that we were glad that she was coming back.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say that since she's been back on, everybody is pretty happy with what's going on. But and the show is definitely watchable compared to before.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm so glad that Julia Barr has come back as Brooke.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to ask you about. How, because she was one of the casualties of the Pratt regime. She just completely disappeared off the canvas without a goodbye, without
Literally walked up the stairs one day and was never
back. Exactly. And as the fans, they saw that as a really big slap in the face. It's like, how can you let someone like her just walk away without, you know, a goodbye or anything? And so that was, you know, one of the casualties, as I said. So what was it like to find out that she was coming back?
It was joyous. I've always liked working with her. And since she came back, the short couple of months we've had, 2 or 3 months we've had working together, it's just like the stuff is easier to learn and easier to do, and the highs and the lows and the emotions are easier to summon. And I just love her. She's a doll. I can say I love her right here in front of my wife.
Aww.
She loves her too. And I just... well, actually, in the email that the ladies put together,
yes,
that we were just talking about,
uh-huh,
yeah, Renea,
right,
I think, Renea, we saw some of the very, very recent scenes that Brooke and I did together, Julia and I did together, and I love them. I loved shooting them. They just seemed to come out of me organically and joyously.
Right.
And so I'm really, really glad that we had that to finish up with, as it were.
Right. Do you consider yourself the kind of actor who worries intently about how the audience is going to react to something, or do you believe it's the actor's job to just read the lines to the best of his or her ability and let others worry about such subjective things as audience satisfaction?
I think I can honestly say, and I don't want to cut the my respect and importance of the audience, but I pretty well think, after all these years, that I can tell if a scene is working or isn't working,
mm-hmm,
and I can tell after the day's work is done, to have a feeling of, well, that went well, that's going to do well. It's not that I was good, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
It's something kind of out of my control, largely. And it's been joyous, as I say, to have Julia back, because the few scenes that we have done together have just felt so fluid and so right,
mm-hmm,
that happy ending.
Yes. Well, I'm glad to hear that. The next question I have for you is another casualty, in my opinion, of the Pratt regime. If you could talk to me just a little bit about how the decision came around to kill your other half, Stuart.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
If you could talk to me just a little bit on how the decision came about to kill off your other half, Stuart.
To kill off Stuart, you said.
Yeah.
At first, before, I thought you said tell off. Well, that did more than tell him off. I didn't.
Yeah.
I was surprised when they showed me that. I wasn't,
mm-hmm,
terribly pleased. I got the feeling it was a sort of a desperate act to stir up the ratings a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I love Stuart quite literally.
Yeah.
I've always been glad that when I took the show,
mm-hmm,
I did not know there were two characters when I agreed to do the show. And when they presented me with the contract, they said there will be a second character coming in. I,
mm-hmm,
was very pleased. I was a bit very surprised. But I thought, well, I can handle this. I can do this. I just got to make another character out of this guy.
Right.
And that has been the the shining glory of my work on the show, as far from my point of view, not only the result or the audience reaction, but just my being able to put that kind of sometimes complexity and sometimes emotion mm-hmm. into sets, into scenes, because well, I've got two different people to play,
right.
and they love each other very much, so that's a given. You've got the love, you've got the dependency, and you've got two different people. And I must say that I remember the first year of Stuart,
mm-hmm.
I would our son, who is now out of college,
26.
He's 26 now,
mm-hmm.
and he was born 1 day. One week. 1 week.
10 days before.
Oh, 10 days. Okay, you can make a lair out of me for three
well,
days.
I had
okay, we used. I used to, when I was available, which was quite often,
mm-hmm.
I'd go in and put him to bed, and either read him a story. And then later on, as we went on and on, I got to telling him stories, making them up.
Right.
And I noticed myself looking at his face and his hair one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that could be something I could use because
okay.
I was looking at this child growing up before me,
mm-hmm.
Seeing somebody new and vital, but somebody... permanently a part of my life,
innocent.
All the things that Stuart should be. What?
Innocent.
And his innocence.
Mm-hmm.
And I started. It was just one of the tricks I used. I started looking at people's hair on
right.
the show. Stuart would just get be talking away and smiling and giggling and having a good time and pulling on his shirt, and then he'd just stop and look at somebody's hair, like it was the most fascinating thing he'd ever seen. And that kind of silliness is, and there were other methods I used, but looking at someone as innocent and as beautiful as our child, and transferring that into Stuart, and that helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's one of the tricks I used, but Stuart was he's a pretty fun guy to be around.
Well, did you have any idea that when they had him killed off that Adam would be the actual murderer, or that was just something they threw in there at the, you know, last minute to try and save it or something?
No, the first time I heard of it, this was before we had taped any of it,
mm-hmm.
The first time I heard it, I was told that Stuart is going to be killed, and I was the one who did it.
Mm.
Why I did it, how the circumstances under which I did it, I did not know at that point. I wasn't
uh-huh.
told, but I knew that it was I who did it. And
right.
That sent me into a puzzlement for a while, but
yeah.
I've never been totally at peace with that, but it gave me a chance to see Stuart again.
Well, you know what, though? I have to say that the fans are still not at peace with that either. Being that I read a lot of the blogs that are out there and the message boards you guys as actors are sworn to confidentiality and you can't release storylines, the storylines make it out onto the internet anyway, so someone's flipping them out there. But when this one came out that Stuart was going to be killed, everyone went absolutely insane. It was like, how could you possibly do that? I mean, that is just—it's just unheard of. It's just ridiculous,
well,
you know.
Writers were obviously after a strong reaction, and they
know,
got it. I'm not sure it was an affirmative move, but
right,
they got it.
Yeah, it wasn't a good one. I'll tell you that much. If you read half the stuff that I did, you'd agree. fans are so loyal, David. You should know that. Soap fans are so loyal to the history and to the characters. You know, they'll follow you guys everywhere. And when you do something like that, especially to a character like Stuart, it's just like, really? Ugh,
mm-hmm.
It's insane.
Yeah.
To jump back a few steps, Calamity Jane was played by Doris Day in the movie in 1953.
Is that who I said?
And then Stephanie Powers on Bonanza, courtesy of Tony Crane in the chat room. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tony.
Yes.
And yeah, I did get it right. It was not Debbie Reynolds. It's Doris Day. Okay.
It was
I'm right again. I'm not right very
it.
Often, you know, so I. Anyway.
So you have to, right? Okay. So. In a genre of television that has become so youth-obsessed in the past decade or so, do you get any satisfaction at all from knowing that, A, you're leaving this show at the very top of your game, and, B, that you're a man who is in his 70s who is still, for all intents and purposes, the male lead on an American soap opera?
Wow. I'm pretty happy with all that. If I understand what you're saying, it's
mm-hmm.
I feel very strong right now.
Mm-hmm.
I was as I tested severely, as I keep complaining about, in this last 3 months out in L.A. They just were pouring the stuff down. As I said, 20-25 pages a day,
right.
Five times a week,
right.
And. I've forgotten what the question was, but you were making a very, very nice compliment to my, that I'm still sort of perpendicular.
Yeah, well, you're still at the top of your game. It's kind of like, you know, you're ending on a high. You're at the top of your game, and the fact that you are an older man who is still, for all intents and purposes, the male lead on an American soap opera, you know?
Well, bless your heart. I still feel at the top. I don't necessarily feel at the top of my game. That's kind of placing me out there where I can't see myself. But I do feel strong. I do feel that I am able to remember the lines, and I usually am able to stir up some emotion and connect
mm-hmm.
it to the lines and make it a real human experience.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds kind of lofty, but I still think I can cut it.
Oh, and you can.
I'm going to leave the show. As you say, at the top of my game, which really makes me feel very good. I'm going to have to kick my wife around tonight a little bit.
Yes, you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're asking me questions and making them big compliments in the process.
Well, David, you know, like I said, I'm a huge fan, so everything I say is going to be so nice to you. I couldn't think of a bad thing to say about you. So let's not even go there.
Oh,
there's
good.
Nothing.
Thank
to,
you.
There's nowhere to go for that. Not on my show. Now, I wanted to get into a little bit. What part of Adam/Stewart is actually David Canary?
What part of Adam?
Or Stewart is actually derived from David, from you. What part of your characters
are
from you?
Adam, no, I'm sorry, the word between Adam and Stewart, with Stewart or?
Slash, I said slash. Like, yeah.
Slash,
Adam or Stewart,
Adam
yeah.
slash
Stewart.
Stewart,
yes.
Which part of it is me? Well, it's all of it. I'm just a silly little country boy from Ohio, and a little schizophrenic, and as my wife knows, I think, yeah, I think being an actor is the trick of making you being yourself,
mm-hmm.
and making that synonymous with the character.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds simple, but it isn't always. Often it's not simple, and. To bring another character into the and to basically develop him, turn him into somebody that is almost the polar opposite mentally of his brother. That's when they told me that I had another character to play. I was very very happy,
mm-hmm.
And I'm very very happy with the way most of it has turned out. It's been quite difficult to play Stuart, and I've done it two or three times as a ghost.
Yeah.
Since he was killed,
mm-hmm.
it's very difficult to play him now. I think I prepare it the same way. I put Stuart's heart and laughter and love into it, and then I have trouble with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it's weird because it feels like somehow I'm not.
He's gone.
Yeah, well, he's gone. he's gone. So, which parts of me? I would I flatter myself to say they're both completely parts of me.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming out of my sense of truth, my sense of reality, and my sense of drama. And I've thoroughly enjoyed 95% of my time on the show, which again, as Mo reminded me, is 26 years.
Yes.
And it's time to go somewhere else.
Well, that's an accomplishment in itself. So, I mean, I'm going to jump onto the phones real quick. This caller that I'm going to take, her name is Tanya. She's from Yonkers, New York. Tanya, say hi to David.
Hi, David. How are you?
I am fine, Tanya. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
Actually very disappointed that you're leaving, but I was just wondering, are you leaving? Is it due to the fact that they relocated out to California? Is that also a big factor in your retirement, doing, you know, the going back and forth from New York to California?
Oh, yes.
That's
if you're talking about if you're talking about going back and forth, that's an absolute. I don't think I could take that. I don't think I'd survive it for over a couple of weeks. If you're talking about just going out there and restarting my life out there in L.A., that's not quite as big a no as commuting back and forth, but it's still something that our family isn't prepared to do. So I'm gotten to the point, just so of a sudden, my age got older on me, and
you
I don't know how that happened.
You don't even look your age, so.
Oh, thank you. I don't look my age, she said. Tanya, you're so wise.
I know, August 25th, right, is your birthday, right? And you'll be, I'm not going to say that because I don't want to put anybody's business out there, but you look fantastic. I just have
well,
to tell you
thank
that.
You so much. I appreciate you saying that. I try to keep in shape and all this stuff, but it's been a real good long run.
Mm-hmm.
I would, staying with the show now, it's just getting a little bit harder, a little bit harder to learn all those lines,
right.
And it seems as a compliment to me, I guess they're giving me more and more material to do,
right.
And making the show harder to do, and not easier.
Mm-hmm.
So it's and basically I'm just getting to be kind of an old guy, and I want to have a little time with my wife and my family to just really enjoy life.
That's wonderful. That's what you should be doing. You know, you've been out there doing things for everybody else for so many years. It's time that you make a little time for yourself and for your family, you know. So that's great that you're doing that. I also wanted to ask you, being a legend yourself, I was just wondering, what was it like to work with other legends like Michael Landon, James Mitchell, you know, people like that?
Wonderful. Wonderful. I never met a legend I didn't like. Yeah, it's me. I just want to share that with my wife. She's asking me what's it like to work with other legends. Thank you. James Mitchell and Michael Landon. Michael Landon was a prince. What a lovely man he was. James Mitchell had talent to burn. He was a tremendous dancer. I don't know that you're aware of that. But
yes, I am, actually. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a singer and a fine, fine actor, but he had a sense of style and class about him that you just don't find in very many people. I had a tremendous respect for him.
Well, he sounds like you. You said class and style, so you just described yourself. So. You know.
Well, anybody that's going to compare me with James Mitchell has gotten my blessing.
Oh, that's good to know. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. I don't want to hold you up. I know there's a lot of people that are calling in. I hope one day I get to meet you in person, and I'll remind you of this conversation.
Okay. I hope that happens.
Okay. Joanne, good luck with everything. You're doing
Thanks,
a wonderful
Tanya.
Job.
All thank
right.
you, Penny.
All
have
right.
a good night.
Take care,
thank
David.
You. Thank you, Tanya.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you see, your fans, David, span from all ages and all backgrounds. And the one thing that I want to make sure, and I don't know how yet, I may have to collaborate with Maureen, is to make sure that you have a functioning website to let us all know how you're doing after Adam is off the canvas, because everybody's going to wonder and want to know what's going on with David and keep track of you.
Well, I think that is something that Maureen will have to help me on.
Yeah.
She's asking, is there a website or some way for people to keep in touch with what I'm doing next? Which
well, if you don't have a website and you don't have a Twitter or anything like that, I think the only thing they could do is probably Google you.
Well, tell her that when I come to New York in May, I'm up in Buffalo, but when I come down to the city in May, we're going to have to get together and converse about this because we want to know what's going to be happening with David.
Okay, bless your heart. Well, thanks for the
interest. We'll definitely have to work something out. I'll definitely stay in touch on that topic. The next caller I have here for you is Linda, and she is from Coral Springs, Florida. Linda, say hi to David.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm fine, Linda. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Hi, honey. Good, good. Excited.
I feel like you said at the beginning of the show, I feel like, you know, the gal walking into, you know, prom with the most handsome man on her arm.
Wow. Hey, wait a minute. She just said she feels like the girl who walks in the prom with the handsomest man on her arm. Are you sure you got the right guy?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
I have the right guy. Joanne will tell you. I don't get very nervous around many people. However, I did meet you a couple of years ago at Super Soap and waited in line for what seemed an eternity, and I finally get to the table, and you were so sweet and so accommodating. And
Thank you.
It was like a cat lost my tongue. I couldn't even say anything to you.
Oh, I know that feeling, but bless your heart. I hope I was kind to you because you are a fan, and I love you.
You're very, very kind. And you know what? I have to say something, you guys, and I'm sure everyone will agree. David, you have the best head of hair on television.
Doesn't he?
I don't know what products you use or what, but your hair is awesome. Love it, love it, love it.
Well, I usually say to that, thank God my head, thank God my hair is in my head because my skull looks like a washboard. Although I've never seen it, but I was one of these guys that had a crew cut, you know, a flat top.
Uh-huh.
I did it in college when I was still playing football. And the center of my whole head stuck out through the top of it. I said, this head is not made for baldness or crew cuts. But my hair is coming from my maternal grandfather, who, God love him, was somebody I admired all my life. And he had a whole head of white hair when he died, and he was in his early 80s, I believe. But
wow.
He was a... he was a cop in Owensboro, Kentucky.
Wow.
I loved
wow.
him. Papa Heel.
Well, you are definitely, definitely hands down one of the best actors of your era. And you have done so much and, you know, 26 long years. And I can't believe 20 pages of dialogue. I mean, seriously, that's, I don't think most people could probably memorize more than just a couple of pages, so I can't even imagine 20 pages.
Well, I didn't think I could memorize it until I had to. And that's when I said the experience has been about half feeling like I'm in prison. Because
right.
I have to come up with those lines. You have to know them every day. Doesn't matter how tired you are or what nightmares you had last night. Take care of yourself, and I'm very glad that I was able to come off knowing my lines, at least. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Very, very good at it, absolutely. And just listening to you talk about your portrayal of Stuart earlier, and, you know, anytime anybody thinks of Stuart, they always think of, you know, the collar, you know, half of his collar would be kind of tucked out of the sweater, and his hair would be kind of messed up, and he'd always kind of, like, pull down on his sweaters. How much of that, I mean, was that just some of the things that you kind of thought about and kind of incorporated into that role, or was that kind of like scripted? I'm just curious.
Oh, no, that, none of that was scripted. I just wanted to think and act as much like a little boy as I possibly could. And that's not that that necessarily is something a little boy would do, but it's something you might do. It's kind of a little bit self-conscious and the collar would always be out, and his sweater would always be coming down or going up or something. But and I just worked on it, and as I told it earlier, somebody else I was talking to a while ago, that I patterned it after my son, who was 10 days old.
He was just born, but most of
you
got from when he was back.
Yeah. Who, for some of it, as she said, I got, which I was saying before, I used to tell him stories and all kinds of things and treat a little child until they got about the age of two. Most of the things I did as Stuart, I had seen Chris, our son, do, and they just were so appealing and so beautiful that I thought, well, I'll just do that. So that's where all that came from. I give it all the credit to my son, Chris.
That's excellent, excellent. And, you know, through the years, Adam has committed, you know, a long, long, long laundry list of crimes. And I was just curious if you had any, you know, favorite storylines of, you know, when Adam, you know, would kind of, you know, do the bad things and you'd wind up, you know, getting away with it. Was there any particular storyline, you know, crime, you know, committed storylines that kind of jump out in your mind that you had, you know, a lot of fun playing?
Because
there were a lot.
Ask me for my favorite storylines.
Oh,
and,
well, Cindy
and
Stuart.
Well, yeah, that's certainly true. Cindy and Stuart. That was until Cindy died on me. It was just mostly love stories, but Adams pulled a few ones. But I, you know, it's odd. But after all, because of all this time that has passed, I actually find it difficult to pinpoint anything. I liked being. Oh, yes, that was a good one. I kidnapped Erica once. Anytime I worked with Susan Lucci was usually pretty much fun. I loved that part.
You kidnapped Erica and you took her to Canada.
I'm sorry? I took her to Canada, you said?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
I believe so. Oh, my gosh.
It's just...
Well,
I really, it sounds, forgive me, but I have trouble going back, and I just feel a whole history sort of wash over me, and I was glad that I got to play a character that wasn't all, you know, pearly white. He had a few angles on his mind and tried to pull them off. Those were always fun, running off with Canada, to Canada with Lucci. Yeah. The cave in, that was kind of interesting when the whole building caved in on us. That was kind of fun. I like action and love stories.
Mm-hmm.
So. But thanks for being interested, and thanks for the question. I don't think I gave a very good answer, but...
were great.
There
Thank
were just
you.
So many. In 26 years, you can cram in a lot of plots.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Every answer is a great answer, right, Linda?
You got that right, Joanne. Well, thank you so much, David. It was so great speaking with you tonight. And, you know, my love to you and your family. And, you know, good luck to you. And, you know, enjoy many long, happy years together.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, that's very sweet. And I wish you health and happiness yourself. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, David. Have a great evening. Bye-bye, Joanne.
Bye, hon.
Bye-bye.
I tell you, it melts my heart to hear the fans talk about you because, and I don't know if Maureen told you this, one of my soft spots with you is because you look so much like my godfather.
Oh. Poor guy.
Oh, stop. Are you kidding? Right
just
down
like
to the,
your godfather, huh?
Yeah, he was my mother's oldest brother, my uncle, and you the both of you with the hair, the eyes, the fit, just there's so many similarities, and so yeah, I do, and the voice, you have such a distinctive voice, and that commands attention, and he is like that, so yes, you do definitely remind me of him. I'm just going to ask you an off-the-cuff question that has absolutely nothing to do with Adam, Stewart, or any other character, that has everything to do with David. Does David have any pet peeves?
Does David have only what?
Does David have any pet peeves? Something that just irritates
you
know, your
I
last
thought you
nerve.
Said, I thought you said, does David have only 10 teeth? I thought, what did she get? How did you know that? Oh, pet peeves. Oh, pet peeves. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Don't get me started. Well, you know, you got probably the biggest pet peeve in my life is commercials. I mean, it's a capitalist economy we live in here. It's basically commercials. It's supposed to be about people making money,
mm-hmm.
and almost everything we see on television has a commercial behind it, and I'm fine if I can just push the mute button when the commercials
mm-hmm.
come on, and
mm-hmm.
30, 45 seconds later we're back to the show. But when you get to 3 minutes of commercials, I'm jumping up and down and carrying on like a maniac. Not really always, but occasionally. Occasionally, yeah, my wife agrees. That is a pet peeve, and of course that's going against the capitalist economy driven society that we have. So we got to put up with it. But I don't like them.
Yeah, no, I don't like them either.
Yeah. Pet peeves. Boy, I wish you could say something. I see somebody get angry and or something, whatever, until I get angry. So I.
You don't like people tailgating you.
Well, that's true. Yeah, people
What's
tailgating
that?
Me in a car.
Oh, I have. Do you go into like road rage, Adam Chandler, when people do that? Because I know I do.
Oh yeah, I get. I can control that road rage. It can be very dangerous, of course.
No, I do. I control it, but I go a little, you know, drop some four-letter words along the way, but that releases it. That's a little annoying.
Drive a little slower.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right. Well, this next caller, her name is Heather, and she is from New York. So, Heather, say hi to David.
Hello, David.
Hello, Heather. How are you?
I am very good. So I've been a big fan of all my children practically since I came out of my mother because she's watched all my children since 1974. And I told her that I was calling in to talk to you, and she told me to tell you hi.
Hi.
And my question is, out of all Adam's wives, who is your favorite?
Who's my favorite wife? My real wife is sitting here, so I have to be careful. She sometimes stabs me with a knife or something. Well, I was going to say it comes to mind. The first and foremost is Julia Barr, or Brooke English,
mm-hmm.
Who happily for me has came back on the show to help us get me out of Pine Valley.
Yeah.
She's real easy to work with, and she's such a doll, and she's a good actor, and she's a pro. She's certainly one of the best. I've been married to Erica twice, and if you like a good, clean fight, then have to say that was pretty special.
Yeah.
Susan Lucci is a lovely woman and a real pro, and I just can't say enough good things about her. But as a wife, she's a little rocky. But we had fun.
How many have there been?
13 wives.
I've been married 5.
Aunt, no. Annie makes your 13th wife.
Wait a minute. Who's my 14th wife?
No, your Annie makes your 13th wife.
14th.
13th.
13th. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
I'm a little deaf. 13th wife. Annie makes my 13th wife. Annie's my child bride.
Yeah, Annie's that, more.
That's kind of fun. Yeah, it has its advantages, you know.
We got you out in the nick of time because when you divorced Annie, you were going to be marrying Emma.
My wife says that the good thing we got out from under the Annie marriage because next was Emma.
Oh,
and I had, you know, she's awfully cute. I was thinking about it.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, just kidding. Okay. They've all been, you know, interesting in their ways. You know, they're good names. And but.
What about Crystal? That was my favorite. I thought it was
really
funny.
Well, I had a real crush on Crystal. She's a good actor, and she's a nice, very nice lady. Very nice, very smart, very, very good actor.
Yeah.
Like
and what's it like to play or work with Vincent?
He's a prince. He's a lovely, bright, very good-looking, much too good-looking. I just got to put a sack over his head.
Yeah, I've had kind of a crush on him since I started watching All My Children.
Oh, well, you know, Vince, that's who we're talking about, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, Vince. He's a very nice guy too. He's not villainous at all in his real life, he's been very good to work with. What was the question? Well, I thought we were talking about wives.
Well, you know what? I'm going to name your wives. All right, Heather, I'm going to name all the names. You ready for it?
She's going to name all.
Yeah,
of my
name all your wives.
Are you saying there have been 13? Are you serious?
Listen to me. I'm telling you. We have Althea.
Can you get on the line?
Yeah.
You there, Maureen?
She's going to read. Yeah, this is Maureen, my wife. She's going to.
Hi.
She's going to listen
to
Maureen. These 13 names.
I don't even know these wives. All
listen. Okay. Well, I'm going to name them for you. You ready?
Yep.
We have Althea.
Althea.
Erica Kane.
Erica twice.
Brooke English.
Brooke twice.
Dixie Cooney.
Dixie.
Natalie Marlowe.
Natalie. Remember Natalie?
Yeah.
Great cake.
Erica, again, which was just a vow renewal. Gloria Marsh.
That was Gloria. That was the that pretty blonde from. Florida.
Yes.
Yes.
Liza Colby twice.
Oh, my God.
Arlene Vaughn.
What's the matter with me?
You had, well, actually, I'm sorry, 3 times was Liza Colby. Arlene Vaughn.
Arlene, she was the one who was the alcoholic.
Yes.
Yep.
Haley's mother. And
Haley's
then
mother.
Crystal Carey, and now Annie Novak, Lavery. So there you go. There's your 13. I'll forward it to you.
People are going to be asking this, and we have no idea. All they know is when Julia Barr comes on the canvas, things are looking good.
Right.
And, I mean, oh, wow. That's
I'll forward all this stuff to you, Maureen, so you have it.
Thank you.
Yes, Susan Lucci can name all her husbands, Erica had.
Can she do that?
Yeah, I was watching.
Yeah, she does.
Her, Yeah, I went to Super Soap Weekend 1 year out in California, and I saw her at a Q&A, and she was, like, naming them all, and I was like, wow.
I think Oprah had her on. I'm pretty sure because we still have the mugs in the cabinet in our kitchen that all of Erica's husbands were on the Oprah show once, many years, maybe 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
From Keith Davis all the way up through whoever, Dimitri, Marek, et cetera, et cetera. I can't remember them. David can't remember them. But thank you for filling us in because we know these questions will be asked in the future.
Well, I'll definitely send it to you, Maureen.
Thanks, dear. I'm going to hang the phone up because you'll get better reception with him
okay.
if I'm
okay.
on.
Thanks, honey.
Thank you, my dear. No, get out.
Well, I'm going to let other fans talk to you, but I just wanted to ask you that, and I will deeply miss you and all my children, but good luck to you.
Thank you. Well, I will miss it. I mean, as I've said before, and I'll say again, it's a little like getting out of prison.
Yeah.
But and there are certainly other many, many other facets to it, and it's been for a job that lasts, what do you say?
26 and a half years.
26 years.
Wow.
It's been almost all good, and I'm very grateful to a lot of people for it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in, Heather.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay,
bye,
Heather.
David, tell me about the day that you found out that they were moving to Los Angeles.
Well, we were all assembled in the New York stage.
August 4th.
Maureen's reminding me what the date was. I wouldn't know that. And somebody got up in a very somber way, told us, broke the news.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just pretty well flabbergasted, like most of the people there. And I knew it wasn't good news. Because
mm-hmm.
I immediately clicked into retirement mode.
Right.
I've made the trip back and forth to Los Angeles maybe only about 4 times in my life. And each time it's taken much more than a full day out of my life. Mm-hmm. I wasn't happy. I was just trying to explore all of our options. I say our options, meaning my wife and I and our children. And it was a little bit like the ground under your feet just moved, and
mm-hmm.
you're sort of go tumbling down for a minute.
And we had an earthquake
while we were out there, a little one. As I say, the show's been good to me. I think they moved out there for financial reasons. That's what they're claiming. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told a few days later that they came this far from, and that's an inch and a half on my fingers here,
mm-hmm.
inch and a half from moving to Connecticut.
Right.
Which would have been lovely for us because we live in Connecticut.
Yeah.
But the trip to L.A. it's a 3,000-mile, six to seven-hour venture.
Right.
We had to stop in Salt Lake City for gas for 2 hours home. I wasn't looking forward to going back to L.A., I will admit that. And everyone was very nice to us out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the people were very professional. But my life is on the East Coast now. And our life is, and our family is, and our house that we built is. And so I was a little shaken, but I got over it. I think the original question was, how did I feel the day we heard the news?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so good.
Yeah, well, I think it broke in the media August 6th, and everyone was speculating on who was going to stay, who was going to go, and who was going to travel. And, I mean, they lost a lot of good people with that move, yourself, Alicia Minshew, Torsten Kay. From what I understand, Susan Lucci is commuting, and David is commuting also. I think that everybody just, there was so many rumors of cancellations. People looked at that as all my children's way of moving it out of New York and then possibly canceling it.
Well, that occurred to me that it could quite definitely be, maybe this is all a move just to see how long they can keep it running.
Right.
But they're going full speed out there, so
yeah.
They're taking just a week off.
Yeah,
which is very rare, but they're taking the Easter week off.
Uh-huh.
Giving everybody another breather.
Right.
But I can say, and without any animosity, I'm done with it, and I'm glad.
Okay. But
because I've had it.
Yeah.
Wish you a happy Easter.
I wish you a happy Easter. Okay, well, let me, I have just a couple more callers that I'm going to get to here. One is Tammy from Queens, New York. Tammy, say hi to David.
Hi, David.
Hi, Tammy. How are
you? You actually know who this is. I was the girl outside when you had the zipper problem.
Okay, yes, I remember you. Somehow you...
We took a picture together, and we realized the little discrepancy afterwards. I just wanted to say hello.
Hello.
And see how you were doing.
I'm doing fine. We're getting. It's amazing how long it can take, and how sort of many mistakes you can make while you're trying to restage your life from one, just going from one coast to the other coast, from one house and set of family. To another house, from a hotel to a house you built, there's a lot that changes. I found myself, my favorite snack at night is a bowl of cereal, and I couldn't find the bowls.
you had your handful. Like,
what?
You had your handful.
Yeah, well, I couldn't remember where it was. It only took about 10 seconds. But standing there in the middle of the kitchen, not knowing where your cereal bowl is a terrifying experience.
Yes, but anyway. You did very well. And I'm, like, really upset that you're retiring. But at the same point, I wish you all the best. And, as you know, I'm right near the studio. So if you ever want to do a quick, you know, interview with Joanne or you want to just update us anytime, just let us know what's going on. Because we all want to keep tabs on you.
Okay. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, David, and thank you, Joanne. I'll be quick.
Thanks, Tammy.
Bye, Tammy.
This next young lady is Carrie from Connecticut. Carrie, say hi to David.
Hi, David. How are you?
Hi, Karen. I am fine. How are you?
Hi. Good. We're practically neighbors. I'm in Burlington.
Burlington.
Connecticut. Near Farmington.
Oh, you know, that's Vermont. Jesus, Burlington's where all the sweaters come from.
No, I'm near Farmington.
Near Farmington. Okay.
Anyway.
That's Vermont, though. We're talking Vermont?
Nope, Connecticut.
Oh, it's Connecticut.
Yeah.
Vermont?
Yeah. No.
Well, we're confused, but no matter where you're from, talk about it.
Anyways, I'm calling because I'm very curious, now that you're wrapping up All My Children, a wonderful career on the soap, what are your plans for retirement? Are you planning to do any theater work on stage? Are you going to learn how to play golf? Are you going to travel around the world? Anything that you can share with us?
All of those. And... I think right now, you know, I just have no plans. Well, I made a coffee table downstairs in my little workshop a while back, and I've had 3 orders for coffee tables from my daughter and several other people, too. You don't even know about some of them. And so I'm quite seriously going to, I love working with wood. I'm going to go down there and do some of that.
Oh, wonderful.
That's
the,
great. So maybe you can take some orders from some All My Children fans?
Oh, sure. I'm going to have to mass produce here. I better be quiet. But what was the question? What am I going to do now?
Any work on stage in the theater? Any traveling? Anything that you can share with us? You like fly fishing? Anything like that?
No. There's nothing in the But it's pretty soon after my last job. Most people have no idea that I'm not on the show anymore. In fact, my agent, I'm not sure he knows. I'm going to, what I'm doing right now is just taking the time out to do nothing and to plan to do nothing. I will do something because I'm just basically a restless, ambitious human being that likes to make coffee tables is one of them, but readings, play readings, some summer stock, some travel. If I can get my wife into an airplane, I'm going to get a doggy. But at this moment, I'm specializing in when I start racing my brain, figuring what am I going to do next, I just put on the brakes, I stop and say, get used to being in your house again. Get used to not having to learn lines again. Things like this. Learning the lines becomes a real big challenge when you're on a soap and 5 days a week. I'm going to basically just love my wife and love my home and make sure the lawn stays in good shape and I can make a coffee table and things that have nothing to do with show business.
Oh, that's great. Well, it sounds wonderful, and you've had an amazing career, and you've certainly earned all the rest and relaxation and enjoyment that you're going to have in store for you.
Bless your heart. You agree with me. Thank you.
Absolutely. So thank you so much. We'll really miss you tremendously.
Okay. Well, I'll miss you.
Thank you, David.
thank you for calling, and thanks for your interest, and nice talking with you.
Thank you, David. Take care. Be well.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Joanne.
Well, you're welcome. That's pretty much how I wanted to wrap the show up, is to see what David was going to do for David and his family. And I can't think of a better plan than what you have in store, what you just
said.
Do you
want a coffee table?
Do I want a coffee table? Yeah, I'll take the coffee table. I'll come down and I'll get it from you.
Well, I'll need measurements and, of course, in the style of wood. And
you know, make me whatever you feel like making me. I'm not special ordering nothing. I want a David Canary original is what I want.
Oh, wow. It may be very hard to get in your front door, but...
I am paying a visit down to the city in May. And hopefully we'll be able to maybe meet up. I'd love to take you and your lovely wife out to lunch.
I think we would love that. We'd love to do that.
David, I'm going to end the show now with saying that it's been a tremendous honor celebrating my second anniversary with you. And I'm going to miss you dearly on all my children. I just need to clear up is if you are going to be going back for any guest spots as they need you, or are you completely finished with the show?
I don't know the answer to that question. I honestly don't.
Okay.
Am I completely finished with the show, or am I going to come back for guest spots?
We don't
know. It's
up in the air.
It's up in the air. Mo's pushing for shooting a couple of episodes, maybe phone calls with me here in Connecticut, but I'm pretending to be in Pine Valley.
Hey, why not?
But why not?
Definitely doable.
But it's been, as I say, it's been a good ride for us, and our minds are open.
Right.
That's all I got to say.
Well, there was someone in the chat room who suggested if to put it in your ear. They're possibly remaking Dallas, and it would be nice to see you portray Jock.
Oh, my word. She's trying to cast me in Dallas.
Dallas is done.
They're bringing it back.
Yeah, TNT is supposed to be bringing it back, and that was suggested by someone in the chat room. So that's just a little bug in your ear to keep the juices flowing.
Okay. Hold on just a second. My wife just gave me her favorite line since I've been going through this is, don't be the Brett Favre of soap. Now, when she first said that, I didn't. What are you talking about? He's a quarterback. Yeah, I know, but he keeps retiring and coming back and retiring and coming back. So
yeah,
anyway,
right.
It's a pretty good line. I'm sure Brett Favre would be insulted, but who knows? This has been fun talking with you, ladies.
Well, it's been fun talking with you, and the fans are definitely loving it, and I'm definitely going to want to talk to Maureen, because now the fans' interest has been piqued about a possible fan club and a website and something definitely concrete to keep up with your comings and goings on what's going on with you in your career, and if you want to share within your retirement. Because, like I said, you've been a staple in our lives every single day for 26 and a half years. And, you know, it's like a member of the family is kind of going away and we're not going to see him anymore. So it's kind of sad for us, as I know it is for you, not to be able to play him again, but every day the way that you had. So we definitely want to stay in touch with you.
Okay, Joanne. It's very nice talking with you.
Well, before I let you go, do you think you could do me a little promo for Stardish by just saying, hi, this is David Canary on Stardish Radio?
Sure. Hi, this is David Canary on Stardish Radio.
Stardish Radio. Say it whenever you're ready. I'm already recording.
Okay. Hi, this is David Canary. Wait a minute. I forgot my lines. I'm David Canary in what?
On Stardish Radio.
I'm David Canary on Stardish Radio.
Yep.
That's it. I thought there was
it.
A verb in it. Okay,
yeah,
sorry. Hi, this is David Canary on Stardish Radio.
Perfect. David, everyone in the chat room is sending you their love, and I'd love to say thank you to Maureen for loaning you out for the evening and letting you spend some time with your fans. And again, to you, the best of luck, happy health, success, everything, and I want you guys to have a wonderful holiday this weekend.
Thank you, Joanne, and the same to you, and thanks for taking the time to put me on the radio.
Oh, anytime. It's
Maureen sends
honor.
Her best.
Tell her I said thank you so much. Okay, everyone, thank you again to David Canary for spending Stardish Radio's second anniversary. We're signing off. Come back tomorrow afternoon, 1 p.m. Eastern time. I will have on authors Kathy Kinney, who is Mimi from The Drew Carey Show, and Cindy Ratzlaff on their book, Queen of Your Own Life. Don't miss it. Everyone have a great night. Take care and goodbye.
Good night.
Hey, everybody. This is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardish Radio.